This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome back, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on red-hot-mama.com. This is episode number 78. It's our second podcast of the day for September 30th of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, we were in Cincinnati earlier today, and we were recording our podcast in the eighth inning, as we love to do. I really do enjoy the
You know, what's funny about that is that the first time we did it, it was the seventh inning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. But then later... The next time we were at a game and went to record, we misremembered and thought it was the eighth.
And then we just
it's been the eighth ever since.
The eighth inning is the perfect time to do a podcast because the eighth inning to the end of the game is probably about the right length of time for a podcast. But it sometimes can take you by surprise, as the one today did when they kind of zipped through an inning in about 12 minutes.
The eighth lasted like 10 minutes today. It was crazy.
It is.
Another problem with doing it in the seventh is they do the stretch
in the middle.
The stretch in the middle, and it's very, very noisy.
It's very noisy. But the tough part about doing it in the eighth is that if you do last until the end of the game, then you have to pack up all your crap real quick and file out with everyone, and it's kind of a tough time to wrap up a podcast. But in any event, that really wasn't the problem. Tonight. The problem was that we got several minutes into the podcast before our son announced that he wanted a lemon chill, and if we were running out of time to find him a lemon chill before the game ran out, and we didn't want to have to deal with that, so we're like, well, we better wrap it up. We didn't ever get him the lemon chill,
no,
by the way.
They had closed up.
They had closed
they
everything
done.
Already. But yeah. He did get to run the bases after the game, and he got a little film canister full of infield dirt. And it's got a sticker on it that says it's official.
Official.
Or genuine. It might be both. It might be official and genuine. Genuine dirt. What a treat.
Not
Heaven
trash.
Knows, we don't have enough of that. Genuine dirt.
We don't have red dirt like that.
I tell you what. So, but in any event, after our abbreviated program in the eighth inning of the game tonight, I was like, you know, we ought to have another show, and we ought to take a look back at the season, because the season's over now. I mean, this was the last game. And I'm surprised at how much it doesn't hurt, I guess. You know, like, it seems like the last game of other seasons has been like, oh, baseball's done, ouch. But this time I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever.
I think I'm ready for a break.
Yeah.
I'm not actually even that interested in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know. I'm not either.
I think it's pretty wild.
Do you want to hit the playoffs? How did things shake out for the rest?
Well, it was pretty exciting and crazy how the National League ended up.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there was a chance that there was going to be a 4-way tie for the wild card.
Whew. Did they do all the coin tosses?
Yeah,
and
they
stuff?
Did. It was marvelously complex.
Media last year. Did I just not hear about it because the Reds weren't involved?
Maybe.
Do you remember all the media it got last year when they were doing all these freaking coin tosses? And I even wrote a fake story where
it didn't involve any teams in the Central this year. So
that's probably why I didn't hear about it. Okay. But I presume that we did not end up with a 4-way tie.
No, just a 2-way tie for the wild card.
2-way tie?
Thanks to the Mets and their... No, not the Mets. Thanks to the Padres.
Padres.
Just completely...
The Dads.
Yeah.
Go Padres. That's kind of awesome.
I guess it's not completely due to them. The Rockies did their part more than their fair share by winning 13 of 14.
Holy shit, can you believe that the Rockies are looking at a postseason possibility? Can you believe that it's the Rockies?
I bet it's all thanks to Jesus Christ.
What? Johnny, what if the Padres win and then they win the World Series? That would be crazy. A Rockies World Series? That would be unreal.
I don't know if the Rockies have ever been to the playoffs before. They might have been... If they have, it's only been, like, once.
Dude, if they make it into the final game, I'm going to be cheering my ass off for them. That would be awesome.
They play Monday.
In the final series, I mean.
At 7:37.
7:37. P.M., I presume.
Yeah.
Monday isn't tomorrow?
Monday.
October 1st?
October 1st.
All right. Well, we may or may not turn it on. Yeah. I kind of don't care.
I'm going to go play tennis.
Yeah, we got a new Wii at our house, and the Wii tennis has inspired us to want to play real tennis. I wonder how much this happens in other people's houses. You're like, man, I'm really enjoying this. I have a tennis racket. I had to go play.
And we'll go find out that real tennis is really hard.
You know
and
what? We were playing out in the cul-de-sac, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, it is hard. It's a lot harder than the Wii version. A lot more running. But I'm all for that.
I want to do more running. That's one of the things that I think it lacks is I want it to capture my whole body movement.
I know. You really have to count on the characters to position themselves, and they do a good job, but I want them to run. But then what you want is then to play real tennis. That's actually what you want.
Except use your Wii remote,
that's
remote with a virtual ball.
You want to use a $45 Wii remote with a virtual ball. Yes. You could use a $45 actual tennis racket with a real ball. Yeah. Anyway, so is there anything else of note that we want to talk about with the way this is shaken out?
In the really National League East, the Phillies ended up winning first place, and the Mets go home with nothing.
Can you believe
after,
that?
Like,
my gosh.
At the beginning of September, I think it was, the Mets manager basically guaranteeing that they'd be drinking champagne.
He jinxed them. That's it right there. That's the jinx.
Well, Tom Glavin didn't help matters today by his... He went like...
Well, you want to bring it back to performance?
Out. Yes, a little bit. A little bit, because they sucked. But the playoffs are going to be... Well, the American League, you'll have the Boston Red Sox playing the Los Angeles... No, screw that. The Boston Red Sox playing the California Angels.
Okay.
And the Yankees playing the Cleveland Indians. So there
will
be
the
baseball
Indians,
in Ohio.
Huh?
Yeah. The Indians are very good this year.
Well, good for them. I haven't paid in very much attention.
Yeah, it's just... It's been so...
How about those freaking Cubs, huh?
Terrible in the Central. It's been tunnel vision. Like, I look up, I see the Reds sucking, and I just don't...
Yeah.
I get a little disgusted.
Well, we'll talk about
that
in a second.
And then in the National League, the... obviously the Rockies and Padres will be playing each other, one game playoff, to see who wins the wild card.
Go Rockies
and then whoever wins that will play the Phillies, while the Cubs will play the Diamondbacks. We'll lose to the Diamondbacks.
I don't know that they're going to lose yet, but the Diamondbacks can be pretty good.
That's Diamondbacks are the best team with the best record in the National League. Not that that means anything.
No,
but
no, not really. And they're also who the Reds will be opening up against next season.
Yeah, I heard that this week, today at the stadium.
And the Cubs are who the Reds opened up against last season. See, this is all very cosmic. It's all coming together.
And
it's all focusing around the Reds.
And the Reds now have the Diamondbacks' old broadcaster.
And they're talking about taking their old manager. Not the Diamondbacks, the Cubs' old manager. See, I'm trying to bring these teams together. I'm trying to meld this into one big weave of nastiness. Suckitude. So, how about those Cubs, huh? I think we need to get a Cubs representative on the podcast.
Before it's too late.
And we better do it quick before they're eliminated. Get them on here and find out what it feels like to be a Cubs fan and to be going to the postseason. And
this is...
And when was the last...
It was... 3-4 years ago when they were just a few outs away from winning a lot. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Before the Bartman incident.
I had a guy bring that up to me at work the other day. And he didn't know much about baseball, but he had heard about that. And so he was bringing it up. And I'm like, yeah, they just sucked. They were just looking for an excuse to lose. He thought I was... He thought I was like yelling at him or something. I'm like, no, it's not you. I just like to bitch about the Cubs.
That was in 2003.
Isn't that funny, the things people remember?
Well, that's such a big deal was made about that.
There are a lot of people.
Yeah.
Jeepers creepers.
So the season is dead.
The
Reds
season.
It's officially dead now, though it seemed like it was dead early into April, really.
Well, you know, I went through, I kind of started scrolling through some posts on Red Hot Mama, starting from the beginning of the season and skimming my way through, and I'm struck by how kind of bleak the tone is the entire way through. There's, like, never a bright point. Were we ever hopeful and happy this season?
During the actual season?
Yeah.
No, it pretty much started terrible and got worse.
Yeah.
It's like,
this was the worst season. This was the worst season ever, as far as my experience with baseball fandom goes. In my universe, this is the worst Reds season ever. You know what's sort of interesting? We were talking about earlier today with, like, the previous interim managers coming on and doing a fairly adequate job, but then, like, McKinnon coming on and doing also a fairly adequate job but not doing remotely a good enough job to get himself the job after the last two and the way they rolled out. But I wonder who is going to get this job, you know? What are they going to... I don't know. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself and being redundant with the last podcast.
I guess it's... They actually won their home opener. They won their first series against the Cubs.
Then they won their second series
against the Pirates.
The home opener was harangue on Zambrano action. It was hot harangue on Zambrano action. And harangue always comes out the victor in those.
Yeah.
So that one almost doesn't count. I know we didn't know that at the time, but that one almost doesn't count. They went and lost the second game. I mean, in sort of like typical form. Bring up our list. What were we? Remember back in the day when we had Eric Milton in the rotation.
Eric Milton.
Remember when they were like.
That's why the Reds failed this year.
Milton?
Yeah, that's all I said.
Well, you know, Milton, what's interesting about Milton is that he was, at the beginning of the year, he was officially the third starter, but he was really the fifth starter. Remember that? It was like, they didn't want to actually call him the fifth starter because he was the second highest paid guy on the roster, for whatever reason. Maybe they just didn't want to embarrass him. I don't know. He's a veteran and whatnot. But he really was the fifth starter, and they were like, kept arranging the schedule so that his starts would be skipped, and he was injured, and then he was injured, and then he was fine, and then he was injured some more, and then he had Tommy John surgery, and he is
really, really injured.
Never more to be seen by the Reds, and he's a... Yeah, like I said, he was the second highest paid Red on the roster. He was his contract was for, what, 3 years? 3 years and $31 million. So he was making the second most after Griffey, and now that his contract is up, and obviously the Reds aren't going to be interested in bringing him back aboard... Or if they did, it would be for significantly less money. I hope that they wouldn't consider such a thing. I wonder if Milton will even be pitching again.
Yeah, he might not be.
But my point being that there's a lot of money that's freeing up with Milton's contract, and I'm sort of interested to know.
I'm a little scared to see what will happen.
Is it all already eaten up? I mean,
it might be. I imagine Phillips will get a decent raise. There's the bright spot of the year.
Yeah,
Phillips and Harangue.
Yeah, and Harangue. I wonder what's going to shake out with Harangue's Cy Young.
Oh, I guess there's...
Delete the Milton one there.
I guess there was also Josh Hamilton.
Hamilton, yeah.
It wasn't...
It's easy to forget about him now because he's been injured for so long. We haven't seen him in a while.
He was injured off and on all year, which...
Remember early on when he had shin splints? You're like, yeah, that's what happens when you never play a full year of baseball.
That's what happens when you start doing intense physical exercise and running and not having done it for years.
After spending a few years like in the dumpster behind the...
Ryan Dumpster?
Dumpster. Dumpster was a special treat at the game today.
That was nice to see him.
What was the quote that you...
From C. Trent Rosecrans' blog, he said the quote of the day. Well, they brought
it was from McKinnon, right?
It's from McKinnon. They brought Dempster in for the fourth.
Yeah,
because they were doing is basically spring training type day. They had Lilly go for two innings because he's starting game two of the playoffs, and then they just started doing a parade of relievers, and. McKinnon said, I called Lou Piniella to congratulate him, but told him he might have panicked a little bit, bringing his closer in the fourth.
It's cute. It's funny. Cute. It's not the sort of thing that Nera never would have said. What I wonder is, I completely lost my train of thought. What else is on our list? Oh, wait, we needed to talk about Kyle Loesch when we were talking about
He did help the Phillies overtake the Mets. He
went
3-0 for them. His ERA and other stats looked about the same as he was when he was with the Reds. He probably had a slightly better bullpen.
Yeah. Remember Kyle Loesch? He was really the third starter.
He was.
He was actually
a serviceable third starter.
Yeah, he was adequate.
And his absence was really felt.
No, without a doubt.
It's amazing. Like, oh.
Yeah. So he's gone 3-0 for the Phillies, but you said he's had 11 starts, right? So
he had 11 starts and somehow only went 3-0. So I don't know what that was about, but he did help them, obviously.
What else did we have pitcher-wise this season? We had
We had Harang.
Yeah.
He might
get a vote. A third place
I can see it.
Cy Young vote this year.
16-6, so he has less than 10 losses.
You know, it's certainly not to his advantage that he ended so weak.
He did
his
end
last
weak.
Last two starts were not his finest work.
Yeah, though his last start he got like 12, 13 strikeouts,
well,
so that looks good.
He keeps adding on the strikeouts. But
he was second in strikeouts. Yeah.
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, he had what you said he was 16-6.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. And then you think, who else even has a record approaching that?
On the Reds, no one.
Well, no, I mean on the Reds, but and like who what are the records like around the league?
The guy who'll win it is the Padres' best starter, Jake Peavy. He's leading the league in strikeouts, but he also has a really, really low ERA and has more wins, 18 or 19. Actually, he starts the play. He starts the game tomorrow for the Padres.
18 or 19 wins, and if Harang hadn't
screwed
the pooch on those last two,
he would have been right there.
Right in those same,
and then
same
also
numbers.
If the bullpen hadn't lost.
Well, he'd have certainly
did.
Some more wins there, but the fact that his losses are so low, I think, is really telling. I mean, 6 losses.
For the Reds?
And one of them was when he was injured.
Yeah.
At least one of them was when he was injured. He might be injured now. Maybe that's why he sucked so much his last two. Well, he didn't suck so much, but maybe that's why he failed to be scintillating his last two starts. Or maybe he's just tired. Or maybe he's just realizing how pointless all this crap is.
Yeah. Well, there's
it's always pointless.
Bronson Arroyo, the number 2.
Bronson Arroyo. Man, did he have a shitty year, huh? Whew.
It's funny. It seemed like it was really unlucky this year for him.
Well, like he would the attention, you know.
He would pitch crappily and lose, or he would pitch well and lose and not get any run support, or he'd pitch well, get run support, and the bullpen would blow out.
Well, you know, we got Smart Elf is all the time popping up on Red Hot Mama talking about how he thinks Arroyo wasn't trying during those early games because the only way to get rid of Naren was for the team to go into such a skid that they would have no choice but to get rid of him, and therefore Arroyo was doing his part by losing.
Which you
give some credence to.
I think Arroyo performs better when the team is playing meaningful games and has, you know, is right in the thick of it. But
all the games are meaningful in April, you know.
That's
they all
true.
Matter in May. I don't know. I don't know. I think that even if you can explain it that way, it doesn't explain why he sucked the second half of the year. I liked how much having Javi catch for him seemed to make a difference. I'm sure it was coincidental, but it was really funny.
But, you know, that's another thing that was so bad this year. It was David Ross's performance.
Oh, man, Ross had an abysmal year.
All of April, he was hitting like 100.
Yeah.
Yet, he kept being sent out there. It's like, if a guy's struggling, you play him for... Yeah, that's one theory. Play him, let him get him through his work, through his slump. But it didn't work, and yet they didn't go to any of the other two catchers.
Well, you know, Naren had in his head that Javi was a genuinely bad catcher. And you know what? I don't know that he's a great catcher.
There isn't
but he's,
a great
he's,
catcher
he's
in the
He's not
Reds
as
system.
Bad a catcher as Ross was a hitter at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the net difference would have been in Javi's favor.
So, you
but
know, that...
You know, like we
so,
said.
So having that additional offense probably did help a little bit when Arroyo was pitching there later in the game.
You know, maybe just shaking things up, too. Arroyo's all for shaking things up. Remember when he had the concert scheduled?
That's
for
right.
June, I think. Sometime in June, maybe?
Yeah, sometime in the middle of the season.
It was like this supposed to be this big concert, and then they like canceled it at the last minute. It's like, yeah, I suck too much to be playing a concert, which is true because there was no way he was going to avoid getting those kinds of comments. He was awful.
Would he have been heckled at the concert?
Well, if I'd been there, yeah. So, but he's extended, right? We're going to be seeing Arroyo again.
Yeah, him and Harang are both through, what, 2009, 2010?
Who do we have after that next year? Is it too early to talk about that in the podcast?
Yeah.
Is Bailey... Oh, okay. Well, what else we got? Did you delete the ones we already talked about?
I did. Next, we've got Homer Bailey.
Thank you. Next, we've got Homer Bailey. What?
In the
rotation?
That's the only three ones that you can say are pretty much definite for next year.
So what do you think of Homer Bailey this year, huh?
Well, he sure did dominate today once they took the starters out and put in the AAA guys.
Well, I think that I remember when Homer Bailey came up and it was this kind of big to-do and the team was so bad then. It was so awful. You know, I read through some of the posts and it's sort of amazing that I kept at it. Like, I was so not enjoying baseball and it was so miserable and there was no
hope.
Well,
I remember feeling like, man, we're not doing anything fun.
We haven't had anything.
Well, that's because
and then, you know, the thing was, a couple times we did have things that were fun and no one responded to them. It was like nobody was in the mood for fun with baseball. It was just so somber and painful. But then they bring up Bailey, and it's obviously a ploy to be exciting, and it did sort of work. People were kind of looking for anything to be excited about with the team. And so, you know, all these people show up to his first start and stuff, but... But, you know, he's failed to be dominant.
Of course he has. Very, very, very few rookies, kids, come up and do that. That's very rare. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
He finished the year 4-2.
You can't deny that that's the kind of talk that they were talking about.
Sure,
I mean, when people talk about guys like that, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's really something special. He's gonna take the world by storm. And then he comes up and he's just kind of...
Yeah, that's just...
I mean, were they overstating it all along? Or is he going to get to be fantastic in a year? I mean, what's the deal with this?
I don't know. We'll see. I bet he'll be better next year than he was this year, though.
Maybe.
Which, yeah.
Maybe so.
I think, yeah. He'll be in the rotation.
Did they do any special, like, giveaways or promotions for Bailey?
No.
Because 2007 was the year of the special promotion, wasn't it?
Yes.
Except for, well, with Bailey, they move his start to be the home game, so to make sure that they got advantage of tickets.
They did the... Bronson Arroyo bobbleheads.
They had the wig.
They also had the Bronson Arroyo wig.
Yes.
The Ryan Friel dirty t-shirt.
Yes.
Nice.
The two Ryan Friel dirty
t-shirts. Right. One for kids and then another one like the next day.
They had
a
Brandon Phillips mesh jersey.
Yeah.
And then the 30-30 cards, which that's something I think is a little more normal, legitimate.
Yeah.
Now, what about the broadcasters? Did they have bobbleheads for the broadcasters again?
Yeah, there was a father-son one for Marty and Thom.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then things did seem to get a little bit better at the 1st of July when they finally got around to firing Jerry Hinn.
July 1?
That's the thing. It was too late.
That
is,
I remember
a
thinking at the
mismanagement of the management.
Yeah, I remember thinking once the trade deadline happened and Krivsky hadn't traded Hedeberg and Conine that was...
That was
a real
it.
Indictment of him.
That was it for Krivsky.
But he didn't fire Jerry Nairn until July.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that, man. I don't know.
July.
Because the things that Nairn did so wrong were so very specific, so very clearly identifiable. It wasn't like, yeah, he just doesn't manage good. It was, this guy cannot figure out how to put together a lineup. This guy cannot manage a bullpen. This guy, you know, he mistreats his catchers. And, you know, these specific things that you could tell him, if you could talk to him one-on-one and say, hey, Jerry, you got to stop throwing Ross out there. You're going to have to let him ride the pine for a few days and get his head together. And send Javi out there. He's not going to do any worse than Ross is doing. And, you know, and then if he didn't do it, it'd be insubordination, and that would be completely different, a different thing. But I don't understand how they couldn't address what Nairn was doing wrong one way or the other.
Right.
You know, either talk to him about it and tell him what he's got to do right, or get rid of him earlier, or attend to something. Or maybe they thought... And that's what makes me scared. That makes me think that they thought he was doing his job right. And then and the, when they did finally fire him, Krivsky was all like, oh, I'm so sad. I'm so sorry. He's such like, a good guy. We just didn't get the results we needed.
Like, well, that's like, all that
no,
matters.
No, he was bad, honey.
Like, it's like they became friends, which you it's good to be friends, I suppose, but you can't become... you still always have to be able to be...
Yeah, give some constructive
cold,
criticism.
Cold, calculating enough to analyze objectively.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like he was able to.
Well, all hope was lost by July 1st, and I believe that was the sentiment at the time.
Like, oh,
well,
yeah.
What is this going to do? Just give
it
us
was at that point,
manager.
I was like, well, dude, just save the money and keep him here for the...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, when they extended his contract, I was saying that. Like, oh, what are you doing? Don't extend... You don't even have to make this decision until the end of the year. Why are you deciding to extend his contract already? So, I mean, they aren't just paying him through the end of this year.
Nope, it's through next year, too.
It's through next year. Like, what the hell? I haven't done the addition. I haven't done the research. I need to get a crack research staff or something. But how much...
You need an intern.
I could use an intern. How much are the
Reds now taking applications.
To people who don't work for them anymore? Managers and
maybe one of the
players. I mean, like, yeah, Cormier and LaRue and
Milton.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
well,
actually
Milton's
no.
An injury.
He's an injury and he's done now.
And he should be insured. But you know, what's his name? Naren and then his bench coach.
Yeah.
They're both gone and just. People that they just signed on and brought on for too long.
Castro. Is he still with them? Or did he just get injured?
I think he's just injured.
Oh, dang.
I know. But then, like...
Yeah.
It's just awful. It pains me. It pains me. But in any event, it's definitely a high point. I don't mean a high point. I mean it's a notable event in the progression of the season.
And it was so strange. It's like, I think... You were looking over your blog post about how, and saw one where you were talking about all the talent on the team. You got Phillips having his career year, and
Dunn was great.
Dunn had a great year.
Do we have Dunn on our list? Yeah, we got a little bit about Dunn. You know, you hear about Dunn. You hear of a lot of people complaining that Dunn makes too much money. And that's primarily the concern about him. But you'll still occasionally see a person who's like, yeah, he was bad in the outfield. You know, I don't believe that he was. He had at least four really good plays in the outfield. And less than that number of really bad plays in the outfield. You know, I don't expect... The thing is, I don't expect the guy to be freaking Brandon Phillips in the outfield. You know, that's not what he does. But, you know, in years past, he's been an injury. He's been a drawback to the team. I didn't think he was at all this year.
He had one of his best years of his career this year.
The guy is a freaking ox. I mean, he plays every damn day. Hits like crazy.
He raised his batting average by 30 points from last year.
You know, he was hitting all over the place. He was hitting doubles.
Yeah. How many times did you see him?
Offense is rarely in question.
Yeah.
And I believe that his strikeout record was broken this
yes,
year, so he doesn't even
Ryan
have that.
By Ryan Howard.
So, yeah.
And awesome. Dunn's average was up 30 points. His strikeouts were down 30.
Yeah, that's good for him. And the thing is, he's so even keel. He's like so consistent. I don't think I would call him a leader. He doesn't seem to be that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He certainly, and he's got his own kind of charisma, but he's not the leadership kind of charisma. But that's fine because he's just like he's just cool. He's just, you know, solid, dependable, kind of hanging out there in the background, getting the job done, and not going crazy.
Yeah,
which would be hard to do on this team. It's hard to do just watching this team.
I want him back next year.
I'd like him back, too. I mean, like we said earlier, no one is sacred.
No, you know? Definitely not.
No one is sacred. But some people are going to be harder to get returns on than others.
Especially with as cheap as he is next year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he makes a lot of money,
but a lot of money,
look
but
at all the other sluggers comparable to him. They make more.
And, you know,
and
if,
I want
if
them to sign
have,
him to 2 to 3 more years.
Any hope of getting something for him, they would have to take on his... pick up his option and then deal him if they wanted to do something. So they've got to pick up his option one way or the other.
Absolutely.
And unless they just let him walk, which is kind of a horrifying idea and exactly the sort of thing they might just do. Exactly the sort of horrifying thing that Krivsky might just do.
I don't know. I think he'll be back. He said he wants to be back, so that's cool.
I just like to, you know, give Dunn some props this year. Mm-hmm. I think that he was great.
I found myself liking him a lot more this year than I have ever before.
Longtime readers of Red Hot Mom will know that I've never been the big Dunn fan. I think that he's fine, but he's just not been one of my favorites. But he's really grown on me this year. I thought he did a really good job, and I give him the utmost props. You know, Phillips, though, probably is going to outshine him as the star of the team. And Harang is good, too. Phillips, though. He's my kind of guy.
And under Naren, it was like they were less than the sum of their parts.
Oh, they were.
Like,
you could say they were anything but, you know.
It's like the opposite of synergy was the 2007 Cincinnati Reds.
I was like, well, how could you look? You looked at, like, Dunn. You say, this is a team that has Dunn, and we have Griffey. Because Griffey had a great year, too.
Yeah.
He hardly got hurt at all, and he was, you know, over in right field doing his thing. And he was, you know, he's no Austin Kearns over there, but he was good. And getting, you know, doing his whole thing. You got Phillips, and you got Javi, who's always awesome. You got Harang. You got all these people. We're like, man, these guys are really something special. This is a team of shining stars.
And you had,
and they're,
you know,
in the,
like,
freaking cellar.
Yeah. And you had, like, Hamilton there doing being the rookie doing.
Oh, Hamilton! Hell yeah!
And it just, yeah.
It's like, how can you screw this up so bad? How can you screw this up so bad? It's like you've got a gourmet kitchen full of all the finest tools and all of the best ingredients. And
you keep burning your macaroni and cheese.
You're burning the freaking macaroni and cheese. Griff Dog, you're burning the macaroni and cheese. Maybe you should read the instructions.
So I think he'll be back. I do.
Well, I imagine they'll have to pick up his option one way or the other. I hope that they will consider keeping him on unless they can get something really freaking awesome for him. And what the heck is freaking awesome enough to get in return for Dunn?
I don't know. An entirely different team.
General
the Yankees?
Manager?
I don't know.
Sounds like when they traded Chris D'Onofrio. I was reading the dripping sarcasm. I believe that I've only ever had one post under the category of dripping sarcasm. And it was my response to the Chris D'Onofrio trade. And because, you know, Chris D'Onofrio has a special place in my heart, and I was not really that psyched when they traded.
You just have crushes on all of the minor league players of you.
That's right. And
Jay Bruce next time.
Oh, baby. my comment about him was, like, they traded him for two players to be named later in cash. So without them naming the players, which I understand that they can't, but without naming the players, it's hard to get excited about them. So what you're seeing is, like, these two faceless masses. And cash. And my response at the time was like, oh boy, you know we're getting something good when it only takes two of them plus cash to be worth Chris D'Onofrio injured. Because D'Onofrio was like out for the season with an injury.
Yep.
And like, this is insanity. What could they possibly get? And that's what I sort of think about Dunn. It's like, if you're going to be trading him for like four guys, I don't know that that's worth it, because we don't need four more guys that are only a quarter as good as Dunn.
We don't need to divide Dunn's
we
value
got
up into
tons
four.
Of that. All we need is like maybe two pitchers that are the equivalent of being half as good as Dunn would be adequate. But you know, that's the sort of valuation considerations that I've always got going on in my mind when I'm evaluating these trades.
Right.
What about where do I go next? Friel?
Sure,
Mr.
Someone. I forgot he was on the team, basically. He's been out for so long and for such stretches this year.
It's painful because he's such a big part of the personality of the team, you know? But he had so much of an influence on the team at the beginning of the season, it was like unprecedented.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was playing second base before Phillips came aboard. Remember before Phillips?
Last year.
Was that last year? Has he been with the team the whole year?
This is second, yeah. This is
second. Oh, okay. That was last year. I lose track, apparently.
All the losing burglars. But there was some concern on your blog if he would be back next year. And he signed through 2009, so I imagine he will be.
Well, I mean, he signed. I mean, And I don't see them getting anything in trade for him, because I think that he's not worth as much to another team as he is to the Reds.
And considering he ended the year injured, that
yeah.
it would have to lower trade value.
I would think so. He's not that young either.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if a guy that's as hyperkinetic and like that and old as he is, whether he's going to be able to keep up his energy level coming back. I think he will.
I think he can for at least another year.
And
I'm sure,
I just think that that he's so beloved in Cincinnati, and he is. I don't know if people, how other people see it, but I've talked to enough people who are, I've been to enough Rosie Reds activities to know that the people just love Ryan Friel, and he's such an important part of the face of the team that I don't think that there's any way that another team can offer enough that it'd be worth it to the Reds to trade him.
It's probably true. We touched on it a little bit earlier, the announcers. They had a whole new crew this year.
No joke, 2007 was the year of the announcers in Reds land.
So they added Jeff Brantley. His primary duty was to replace Steve Stewart.
Mm-hmm. But they ended up keeping Steve Stewart around because he must just not have had anything else come up, maybe. Or maybe they liked him.
I'm not sure.
Listened to the Red Hot Mama and said, oh, people did like him after all. Maybe we ought to give him some sort of utility.
I don't know. But he did a lot of the TV hosting on the pregame TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Yep. Sitting up there with Jeff Becoro and doing their whole thing. Or Jim Day. He sat with Jim Day, didn't he?
I think so. And then Jeff Brantley did the color on the radio, and woo! He did not start off too well back in spring training.
He wasn't used to talking for the radio, I think, what it was.
Well, he'd been on Baseball Tonight for years.
So you'd get sort of like, his play-by-play would be sort of like, you'd hear a cheer, and then sort of silence, and it'd be like,
oh,
wow, that was a fast one. Or I don't know what it would be, but it'd be like, Who what? You don't know which team did it. You don't know who's cheering. You don't know which player it was. You don't know what happened to the ball.
Yeah,
is he out? Are we happy about this?
His improvement was dramatic.
He was also very heavy on the colloquialisms at the beginning, where it was pretty overbearing.
He went to the Dan Rather school or something.
He still peppers them in there sometimes, but it's not as painful as it used to be.
It's pretty cool to do that occasionally.
You know, I really started out quite anti-Brantley because he was quite painful to listen to. I didn't like him, but I've really come around to him. I don't know if I've gotten used to him or if he's gotten better. Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I gotta say that I'm particularly fond of when he and George Grand are on TV together. Because George insists on calling him cowboy every single time he speaks.
Not
to
just
him.
Occasionally, every time.
And not only that, but he works it in to the conversation so much more. So, like, when talking to like Chris Welsh, he might say Chris's first name, once every three times he talks to him.
Yeah, you don't say
people's names all the time. But when he's talking to Brantley, it's cowboy every time.
And it almost sounds like it's separate
cowboy?
Thought.
How'd that?
Except it's a little bit more syncopated than that. So it's like, and what do you think of Brandon Phillips' year this year, cowboy? It's like he sees one.
He's compelled to say that, to announce that he sees a cowboy in the stands. Like, there's this guy who's dressing up as a cowboy who's going to all the games, and every time George notices him, he has to say cowboy.
Cowboy.
By the way, cowboy. Oh, I mean. yes. But on the other hand, Tom Brenneman, the other new addition to the Reds,
I think we're in the minority here.
I'm not. That's not to say that he hasn't improved. I think he has. I couldn't stand him at the beginning.
No, at the beginning of the year, it felt like he was overpronouncing everything, and he had this really powerful broadcaster's voice on it.
Well, and he would bitch about every damn thing that he thought the Reds did wrong. Half the time, he was wrong about them.
Yeah,
and
like
it was just
what Chris
like,
Welsh.
What in the hell do you know about this, Tom? Why are you bitching about Edwin Encarnacion's inability to bunt in this situation? What do you even know about bunting?
And eventually, Chris Welsh on some of the TV broadcasts started like disagreeing with him.
Well, you know, then that's the funny thing is I love Chris Welsh with I love Chris Welsh in general. I think he's just awesome. But with Tom, it is entertaining. At first, it was painful to listen to because Tom would come up with these crazy things. He'd say something that didn't make any sense about how he really thinks that somebody should have done something. That was a great opportunity to steal a base. And then there'd be this awkward silence where, well, Chris Welsh sat there and like, you sort of got the feeling, now I can't read his mind, but in my imagination, what Chris Welsh is like, this guy's a jackass, but I can't say he's a jackass. What am I going to say here? And he's just going to sort of a stunned silence. He's nonplussed is what he is. He's speechless.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, eventually, that would have been a great steal opportunity. It was a walk, Tom. But eventually he was like, he'd, you know, come around to a friendly disagreement.
Right.
No, that you couldn't do that there. And, you know, that made for a much more natural interaction.
Yeah, and it helped Tom seem be more natural, too, instead of so, I don't know, didactic or just screaming. So he got a lot better, too, I think.
Oh, he did. And you know what?
I still wish he would talk. I still feel like he's broadcasting. He's
putting on his voice.
Yeah. It still feels to me like it's a fake voice.
I understand that it's difficult to stop doing that, too, because, you know, like when I talk on the phone, I have a really hard time not using my phone voice.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time not doing it, so it's probably quite genuinely difficult if he's
doing
really that
for years.
You know, it's a little unfair to Tom, too, because I was against him from the beginning. I really wanted them to bring on a woman,
well,
or to bring on a minority, bring on a Spanish speaker.
So uninspired.
Do something really creative.
Other teams have brought on the son.
And it's like, it's just so lame. And, you know, even before this year, it's just like, man, Marty's got a bitch about everything. He complains constantly. He thinks he knows better than everyone. And wouldn't it be nice to bring in someone who would stand up to him and be like, Marty, lighten up, man. He is doing a good job. But that's not what Tom does. He complains just as much. They sit there and agree with each other about how much the team sucks.
Which it does.
Oh. But and they've got a point.
Sometimes I do wonder what it would be like to have a homer for a broadcaster.
A little team jingoism might be nice.
Every now and then, because it gets hard.
Well,
the fans aren't stupid.
It is George. It is George Grant for you right there.
Except he's for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he loves them. He loves the Cardinals. It's true.
So next year.
Next year. You know, every year at the end of the year, we look forward and we say, yeah, things went horrible this year, but everything's going to change next year because, and that's the sentence we need to finish right now. Why are things going to be better next year?
Jerry Nairn won't be there.
Well, that is already a step
unless
in the right direction.
Unless they rehire
direction.
Him.
They wouldn't do that.
Maybe they'll call him back for an interview.
Well, you know, Krivsky did love him.
He's already being paid. He already got paid.
If they did rehire him, would he have to work out a second contract?
I have no idea.
Would he get paid twice? He might get paid twice.
He might, because the original contract would have been
that would actually
terminated
be a pretty poor idea on Naren's part to accept that job, because if they could work it out so that they could just keep paying him the money that they were required to pay him anyway,
he would
be much better off to get a second job somewhere else and make a bunch more money.
There are
unless
rules.
There's a con- yeah.
He can't. There are usually rules like he can't do
a year.
He can't be a manager next year while he's still getting paid like that.
Then go back to being a bench coach, designated lineup card writer,
calligraphy man.
He had that going on. He had that going on.
But I don't know what's good to look forward to.
So, but the thing is, it kind of depends on what manager they bring in his place. And McKinnon would probably be fine. Like I said before, I have had a better feeling about him in general than I've had about the previous managers. On the other hand, the negativity that they would probably receive from the watching public might be so strong that it would actually drag him down.
Maybe.
There's discussion of Dusty Baker, which I think is a horrible idea.
Right.
But then, you know, what Tom Brenneman was saying today on the radio was that he thought it was Tony La Russa's job to accept or not.
Right.
And if he comes back and decides, yeah, I'll give it a shot, then there's no question, there's nothing further.
That would be really weird.
Wouldn't it, though?
Because La Russa was the manager of the A's for all through the 90s,
mm-hmm.
80s and 90s. And he came to St. Louis. to go to the Reds after all that year, all those years coaching the in-division rival? I don't know. Do managers usually switch teams like that?
You know, he takes on enough of the freaking ex-Reds players and whips them into shape that...
That's the thing. If Dave Duncan comes with him...
No crap, man.
There was another... Yeah, all the red ex-Reds they've whipped into shape there is...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it sort of just sort of makes you sick. Like, oh, wow, they had that potential all along. If only someone knew how to bring it out in them.
I don't know if that's something to look forward to, though, Tony La Russa being the manager of the Reds. He would bring his own special brand of...
Frustrations. As will everyone. I mean, that's just going to happen.
It'd be very
interesting to have La Russa on board. I think it would make smack talk with Belly Scratcher and entertaining.
You know, maybe so.
Plus, we'd all wear sunglasses to all of the night games to make fun of him. It'd be great.
They could have sunglass giveaway night.
They would absolutely have sunglass giveaway night.
Okay, I'm down with it.
So, if that were the case, I mean, I think you'd have a hard time saying that he's going to do a bad job as manager, though. So I mean, if that were the case, that would be one reason that things would be better. The bullpen needs to be improved. Desperately. I mean, desperately needs to be improved.
Yeah.
And can they fix the bullpen before next season?
I would worry about the starting rotation first. But...
Dude.
I don't know.
What's to worry about there? I mean... I don't know that I would worry about the starting rotation before the bullpen. I think we've seen... I mean,
well,
this season
it
shows
seems
you
like
a decent starting rotation with a crappy bullpen.
True. But it seems like when they've tried to fix the bullpen, they've made it worse. You know,
yeah, well,
made the team worse.
Fix the Krivsky.
Fix the Krivsky. Fix the Kriv dog.
Have your pet spayed and neutered.
Bob Barker.
Yeah.
But will anything be different next year? We'll have a different manager.
Yeah.
Different things to get frustrated by, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be a nice change of pace. If the Reds can at least keep our hopes in the game, the manager's going to be huge. Because the Reds are behind, even if they're struggling, you can keep hope when there's still hope when it seems like, yeah, they just need to get out of their slump. They just need to... When they've got a manager who seems to be, like, consciously thwarting them, it doesn't matter how good they play, you know? And it's hard to keep hope in that situation. It's hard to feel enthusiastic. So just the change in the manager may be enough to at least, you know, make it more fun to blog about. This has been about the least fun blogging year ever.
Yeah. Well, and after last year, where it seemed like they were just a few steps here and there from...
Yeah.
Being good, they just stepped back so far.
Well, the thing is, at the beginning of this year, it seemed so promising. And you looked at it, and we made the predictions, and I thought, you know, the Reds have it. They can take this. And I stand by that. I think they could have taken it. They have talent coming out their freaking asses, man.
They keep trading away outfielders, but...
And they just
still
keep popping right
continue
back
to
up.
Have more, too many...
Keep trading outfielders, they just keep showing right back up. Maybe they should be trading their pitching. No, you know what would happen? They just keep trading shitty pitchers, they just keep getting shitty pitchers right in return. I think they've got to address the bullpen,
okay.
But you know, I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
There's not much that I've seen so far that not much available via free agent.
That's the thing.
That would require creative trades.
And not only that, but it seems like bullpenners are... I mean, good bullpen pitchers aren't like... They aren't like good third basemen or good, like, something like that. It's like... It's sort of like you have to feel out which year they're going to be good.
Yep.
And, you know, a good closer is maybe something that is a defined role, like a good any other position. But a good, like, middle relief guy, a guy who's just not going to suck... It's hard to figure out who those guys are going to be. For all we know, the same guys they have right now are going to be great next year. Or maybe if they had a better bullpen coach, everything's going to be fine. Or maybe if we
Well, last year, Todd Coffey was great. This year, he sucked.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
This was his third year with the Reds. 2 years ago, in his first year, he was just fine.
He's adequate. Well, and that's around the... And then remember, like, Wagner? Ryan Wagner.
Yeah.
Remember how like great he was for a while and then sucked?
Nothing, yeah.
And that was like, it's like he had forgotten he had ever been good. And then he was, I think he was adequate again for a while and just kind of been all over the place. It's very tough. It's a challenging thing.
You know,
and I don't
Mike
know.
Stanton has been so terrible and frustrating this year, but and he is will be back. He will be back because he was signed to a 2-year deal with an option for a third. What happens when you give people money? But
the thing is,
he has such a long history of success. I know he's older, but there's nothing keeping him from having a good year next year.
Stanton, you mean?
Yeah, Stanton. You know, if Stanton and Coffey have good years again, and the young guys improve, suddenly you've got a much better looking bullpen. But then that's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, it's a lot of ifs. It's amazing to think that your bullpen can have such a big impact. To even think you can have so much going on everywhere else and everything going so right, and then you just have a shitty bullpen and it's all blown to hell.
That was. In terms of win loss, like looking at box scores, that was the worst thing for the team this year. I mean,
awful.
How many blown saves? They were up there.
Oh yeah,
and the league leaders in terms of team blown saves. It was, and that didn't even count the times when the Reds were down by one or two, the bullpen allowed five, and then the Reds scored three or four.
Right.
So if the bullpen had allowed only one or none, they would have won. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
Didn't even count that. Which happened all the damn time, every eighth inning. Hopefully, next year we'll have a better eighth inning. It was so bad this year. Good riddance.
What else? You think the starting rotation needs to be shored up to make things different next year? It seems like the core is so adequate.
I can't decide. You've got Harang and Arroyo, which is a great 1-2. It's up there, and it's probably about the best in the Central.
Sure.
Well, Zambrano and Lilly for the Cubs is pretty solid, too.
I oddly don't feel like Lilly counts as a Cub.
He had a career year. But then after that, it's kind of, with the people currently on staff, you'd have Bailey or Belial. I wouldn't mind seeing Belaley. Wow. I wouldn't mind seeing Belial get another, year. Because
he give that a try. He got Sheard coming up. Think Sheard's ever going to see the light of day again?
Maybe he can help shore up the bullpen.
I'd be happy to see him shore up the bullpen. I'd be happy to see him take a spot starter, long reliever. I'd be happy to see him take on the fifth starter role. I'd just like for the Reds not to forget about him and either send him packing or send him back to Louisville to fester for the rest of his career, because it's really not fair. And it's exactly the sort of thing you can totally imagine this team doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, back to Belial.
Yeah.
177 innings this year, 30 games started. That's his first full year as a starter. And he didn't do too badly for a crappy team like the Reds. 5.32 ERA, I know that's high, but it's his first year and he's only 27 years old. There were some signs that he could be better.
I don't know that only 27 years old makes a lot of sense in baseball sense, but okay.
Well, I think he could get better.
Plus, you know, the ladies love him. Don't forget about that. Treasure Bell Island.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was... What's Aaron Harang's... when he was 27 with the Reds, that was when he made some great strides forward. And it wasn't until his year when he was 28 that he first won 16 games with him. So, you know, if he follows along that little path, that'd be awesome. Then he'd have a second Aaron Harang.
Tell you what, it's like... No,
see, you can be
optimistic. We don't ask for much. We just want Matt Belial to turn into Aaron Harang. Is that really so much to ask?
No.
Come on, guys. Come on.
That would make the year so much better next year.
You know, Johnny's old enough to go to... Reds Fantasy. What is that thing called?
Reds Baseball Heaven.
Reds Baseball Heaven in Sarasota. So, yeah, you know, he's going to go down there and wow them so much that they're going to sign him to a contract.
That's why you have to be over 30. So that people who are actual, legitimately legitimate prospects don't show up.
And they would.
I know, in droves.
Without a doubt. And you know, it's like, you'd be the first, like, 5'10", 140 pound.
30 plus.
30 plus. Fireball and right-hander.
There's no way I could throw. Dude,
like,
my Wii, the Wii has kicked my shoulders.
It'd be like, he's a little uncharacteristically short for a fastball thrower, fastball pitcher.
I do have a good serve in Wii tennis.
It smokes a little bit on
it
the
does.
Screen. It's awesome. Have we talked about this team enough? Have we tortured ourselves enough for 1 year?
It's almost an hour-long podcast.
Shall we just agree to try to enjoy the off-season? Everyone just, you know, take a break. Not you, Krivsky.
No.
Certainly not you, Mr. Castellini.
You took a long enough break for the entire season.
That's
Thank you
true.
Very much.
Where were you at the trade deadline, sir?
Where were you in before July 1st?
Where
really?
Were you when our team was sinking this entire season? Hello. And, you know, yes, credit where credit's due. At least, like, 3 excellent moves.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you, man.
Whenever money's not involved, he does a really good job.
And you, Mr. Castellini, who bought this team, promised change, said you're bringing winning baseball back to Cincinnati, said that everything was going to be different now.
Well, that's kind of...
Tradition of winning. Where's our tradition of winning, Mr. Castellini? All I see that we've got is a bunch of fake mustaches and wigs taped into hats and bobbleheads. Which, you know, don't get me wrong, I love bobbleheads. Kid loves to run the bases after the game. We're all very pleased to be members of the Redheads organization. But,
Castellini
was... It's no substitute for winning season.
I think he was on the radio with the broadcasters talking about how next year was going to be better.
I'll believe it when I see it, sir.
That's right. I've heard that before.
I'll believe it when I see it. Seems like
recently.
I've tried to believe it before. Maybe I'll feel a little less pessimistic about it after a little bit of time has passed. When the Reds aren't ending their season with losing 7 out of 8 and the memory of all the lost promises has faded.
Yeah.
Go outside and play some tennis.
There you go.
It's good times.
Before it snows.
Before it snows. Put out our Halloween decorations and try to live it up a little bit, and we'll see you guys all again in March.
But there will be podcasts.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to make it sound like we're shutting down shop. I'm talking about trying to disengage emotionally a little bit so that I'm all fresh and ready to go for next season. Maybe things will be a little bit more exciting, a little more interesting. So that sounds to me like a good hanging in there message.
Okay.
You going to hang in there?
Yeah.
I'm going to hang in there. You guys all hang in there. And go Reds.
Go Rockies.
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds in the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.